Hello, friends. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Jody.
Welcome to a Material Girl Goes Green podcast. I'm the Material Girl and founder of Farm Finds Candles, the first sustainable candle company. And I'm stepping both feet into the world of living an eco-friendly and slower, more simple life. This podcast will take you along for the journey.
And I'm the expert. As the sustainability coordinator for the Allen County Department of Environmental Management, I'm answering all Leslie's questions and helping her along the journey to living a more waste-responsible life.
Well, good afternoon, Jody. How are you doing?
I'm great, Leslie. How are you?
I'm doing good. We are deep in the throes of cold weather. Winter time is upon us and coming on, continuing to move in. So you and I talked a little bit about some ideas for not only winterizing the home, but like some of the things when the snow starts to fly, since we're here in the Midwest, and it does do that, that we can just do to prepare ourselves and just to be more eco-friendly. To me, because most of my journey has occurred either in the house or in the summertime, so I've done the composting. We've not really had the wintertime chat yet, so I think now is a perfect opportunity to have that. To have that conversation. So,
we can't avoid it.
Yeah, I know. In Indiana, for sure. For sure we can't do that thing, though I would love to from time to time. I like the snow, but I like the snow when I'm staying home. If I have to go out, then the snow sucks.
Right. I like the snow. Yeah. I like to fly over it on my way somewhere warmer.
There you go. Except when you live in it, and then you fly over it when you're sliding down your driveway.
Right.
So let's start with the windizing. Like, let's talk through some of the things that we can do, should do, you've seen, and that you do, and some of that stuff. So
okay.
What's your number one, like, thing we should do to winterize?
So I don't know if I can put these things into an order, but I think there's a few different categories. So there's like winterizing for energy efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
There's winterizing for like mitigation of, you know, damage.
Sure.
And then there's the things that you kind of have to do to just get around during the winter. And I kind of think we all sort of have our routines that we have always followed, and we don't necessarily think about changing it up. And then the other thing that gets me sometimes is those catastrophic weather reports, you know, when it's like
all the warnings.
Yes, snowpocalypse is coming, the deep freeze, and everyone rushes out. And I got suckered in, I will say, last year. They were just harping on this freeze that was coming, and everyone got so worried about it. And I got caught up in the hype. And I went to the store, and I was like, I need to buy something to protect my home.
I need the thing.
Yes. Yes, our pipes are going to burst, and everything is going to be ruined. And I remember going to Lowe's and finding a little plastic styrofoam thing that you're supposed to put over your outdoor faucets. And I remember the salesperson saying, oh, gosh, we sold more of those in the last couple of days than we've ever sold ever. And I am not the only
Thank
one.
Thank you, newsman.
Yes, I'm not the only one. But I took that thing home, and it was a piece of trash. It didn't fit securely, and I ended up having to, like, adjust it and add to it and rig it,
attach it through the house.
Yes.
I can just picture it.
To make it work, I had to basically do my own setup anyways. So I was thinking, you know, we don't need to go buy a bunch of stuff.
Styrofoam, right?
Yeah, it's a chintzy little styrofoam thing, and it broke, and it just I just felt bad that I bought that piece of trash anyways.
And the point of it, the purpose of it was basically to keep the pipes warm enough so that they didn't burst, or that the keep the faucet. Okay, gotcha.
Right, exactly. So
how did you kind of fix it so it actually worked?
Well,
whenever
I get stuff shipped, sometimes you get that packaging you don't always want, but I try to save a little bit of like the bubble wrap and the styrofoam and the packing materials, and that stuff came in handy. So I ended up like cutting some styrofoam to custom fit around my actual faucet, since the one I bought didn't fit where I wanted it to go. And then I just like wrapped it with some like extra fabric that I had at home too, and there was duct tape involved.
I'm sure.
It always works.
Hey, it keeps things on is all I can say. It works.
Yeah. And so I ended up using some stuff I had around the house to make something that insulated my outdoor faucet and actually fit my house. And I didn't, contribute to creating more waste.
And you did many of the reeves, right? You did repurpose, reuse. Mm-hmm. You used all the reeves in your solution.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. And we had some of that spray sealer stuff.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
And that we had used for little gaps and stuff in our attic to make that more insulated. So that worked really good, too. I used some of that.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's just the inside. That's your winterizing for inside. You can find little drafts, whether it's in your attic or around your wizard doors. You can use some of that spray stuff. That does work well. It's a plastic-based thing. It is something that you'll have to, it's not the best product. It's probably toxic, but it works really well. It expands into the crack.
And you probably don't have to use very much.
Right, right. One can goes a long way. Yeah. And in the end, you're saving energy.
Right.
So
it's a trade-off, right? We've talked about that. There's things that maybe aren't ideal, but we have an ideal solution. So a manufacturer comes up with a plant-based sealer to save energy inside by using something in a small amount that may not be ideal, but works for that.
Mm-hmm. Sure does. And then, I even have used, sometimes you'll get packing material and it is kind of like papery. It's almost like insulation. It's kind of fluffy.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah. And I've used that in our attic too, in different spaces. So reusing that stuff, that works pretty good. And then you can use anything to really seal cracks in your windows and doors. You walk around, you find the drafts and really stick something in there. That's about all you need
to
do.
Well, and even under the door, remember those old, they had like wiener dogs and all of the different figures that you just kind of filled with, I don't even know what they were, soybeans or popcorn
or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And those work. They legitimately work.
They really do, yeah. And
so we've used those in doors that we don't go in and out of very much. We just put, and then we've wrapped up a towel.
Yeah, that works too.
Done that, yeah. So, yeah, we've done all the things. Because it gets cold in Indiana. And we have one side of the house that the wind all attacks that one side of the house. So,
we've got to shore it up.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Is there anything like with our, and I'm sure there are, but from a thermostat perspective, talk me through that. Is it keep it set lower? Is that a thing?
I feel like everyone who lives with anyone else probably has thermostat debates at home.
Yes, or flat out fights, whichever you would prefer.
Right, and so there's just the temperature that you're comfortable at versus someone else. But the other thing my husband and I always talk about is, I think when you're away, you should set the thermostat really low, because you don't need the heat your house while you're gone.
Sure.
And he says that the energy it will take to then heat it from very pretty cool, cooler than comfortable, up to a temperature that you're going to want, you know, when you're home, mm-hmm. that
it takes more energy.
Takes more energy. So that offsets all the good you did by having it low to begin with. So what we decided is somewhere in the middle, there's an hour, there's a period of time of hours that if we're gone all day for 8 hours, yes, it makes sense to turn it down pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're just going to run out for dinner or something like that, then we keep it warm. So that's the compromise.
That's your compromise. It's a pretty good compromise. Yeah. And we do that too. And the nice thing now, because there are so many programmable thermostats, right?
Mm-hmm.
We always try to, and not a huge difference. We don't take it down super low, but when we go to bed at night and we, you know, we're not in one area of the house, we turn the temperature down. And then we shut the door and we try to keep the heat, which rises, right? Into our bedroom on the second floor. So our thinking is that that is a good way to save energy, is just to have that, have the temperature lower in the evening when we're not in the main part of the house.
I agree with that. And I also believe that 65 degrees is scientifically proven most perfect temperature for sleeping.
Yeah,
I read that somewhere, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep, and I'm a cool sleep. I would prefer that it be cooler than warmer. I hate it when I get hot when I'm trying to sleep. So I agree.
Yeah. I've had in a program.
I was gonna say I have had a friend just recently say that they keep their thermostat at like 62 degrees all the time.
Oh, no.
To which I said, you have lost your mind. That's cold. That's like, see your breath cold. That's too cold for me, too. So, yeah, like everything else, these are all, you know, your personal, you have to put your personal part into it.
Mm-hmm.
But just try to turn it down whenever you can. Maybe like you were saying, your husband, not huge differentials, but some degrees. It's all going to make a difference. It's all going to help.
Right, and those programmable thermostats are great. You can
set
a schedule. You know, most of us have the same kind of same schedule, at least on weekdays, and it does really, really save energy. You can see the difference once you do use one of those.
Awesome. So what about the snow? Is there anything that I need to know? We start getting snow and it starts blowing and snowing, that I need to do differently from an eco perspective than what I might have done in the past?
Yeah. Well, here's some things that I have recently learned. Because we have someone in our department now that works with water quality, I've learned a couple of new things. So just like in the fall, you want to keep your leaves and debris and stuff away from the storm drains. And just like all the time, you want to make sure no trash goes down there, because that does go through the rivers. Mm-hmm. Really, almost anywhere you are, it could end up in the rivers. So I just realized, and it makes sense, you want to keep snow and ice out of there too, because blocking those storm drains causes, buildup of stuff. And then it causes flooding, and then eventually all that stuff is going to go down there, clog up the drain, and then, you know, get into the waterways potentially. So
you
want to keep snow clear too. Yep. And, you know, I think everyone goes a little bit nuts with the salt and the de-icer.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's really no point in putting that stuff down preemptively. It will not work before the ice happens, if you put it before the ice. So keep it very light.
I did not know that. So it has to have ice on the bottom, and then you put it on the top of the ice.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about salt? Like, because I know there is the salt product and the de-icer products, and they're different.
They are different.
Do you stick with the salt because it's more natural than the de-icer? Because I don't know what's in the de-icer.
Yeah, I don't know what's in there either, but I'm feeling probably some kind of glycolic acid, some kind of chemical. Right.
Yeah.
So you want to go as natural as possible. They have salt. Salt, however, is really bad for the native plants and animals that are in Indiana because that's not a thing they're normally encountering. So you still want to go light.
Right.
As light as possible. And you don't need as much as you think you need. Kind of like when you're salting your food, really. You kind of get to just shaking it. But experiment with how little you can use and see that it still has the effects.
Right.
It'll sit there a little bit longer, but it will take effect. And they do have some products, too, that are made out of, like, byproducts of the food industry. So I know, like, some of them are made out of beets, like beet pulp. Yeah. And it's more of a sugar than a salt because it's, like, beet sugar.
Interesting.
And that works, too, and that's not toxic. It is a nutrient, however, so if it goes in the water, it's still, you know, you don't want to overload water with nutrients because then you get algae blooms and there's a whole thing. But they have natural ones. And if you have pets, too, the salt can be really bad for their feet. The chemical stuff can be really bad for them because they can, you know, lick their feet and get that internally. And so that's pretty bad. So you want to use as little as possible and as natural as possible. And I've seen them certified pet safe. So that would be one I would probably pick.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. We don't deal with that too much because we just shovel because the dogs are mostly in the back. So they're not walkers. They have a backyard. So they just run around the backyard. So while I agree that I wouldn't want to use it for other people's pets in my neighborhood, I'll have to look for that and see what I can find.
Yeah, if you live where there are sidewalks, and especially in more urban areas or where people walk a lot, it's just considerate.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. So what about any of the winter, I'm going to call them tools, but, you know, your snowblowers and that kind of stuff. Is there anything we can do for those?
Manual's better, just like a rake versus a leaf blower. You know which side I'm going to be on.
Yep.
Those small engines emit more greenhouse gases than a car.
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of small gasoline engine, those things just crank out carbon.
But they're the older ones. The older they are, the worse they're going to be.
Yeah.
Well, plus with the shovel, you can get a workout.
Right. Try to use
a
shovel.
Think that's good or bad? You can get one.
Yeah.
But with the shovel. Awesome. Good. I'm trying to think of any other winter things around my house that I would question.
I just want to bring up my favorite winter car accessory, which is vodka in your windshield wiper.
That is my favorite, too.
Windshield wiper fluid is super toxic. And if you think about it, you're just squirting it out and it's going onto the ground. So rubbing alcohol works too, but a nice cheap vodka.
That's way more fun to talk about too, is the vodka for that fluid. So
yeah, that will get the ice off your windshield, I promise.
That's awesome. Well, we've already replaced ours, so you had me at hello. You had me at vodka.
Good.
All right. Well, if anybody else has any specific questions about winterizing inside, outside, around the house, anything like that, shoot us a message at our Instagram, A Material Girl Goes Green Instagram, and we'll get it answered for you. So,
sounds good.
Well, yeah, so thanks for listening, and we will talk with you next time.
All righty, thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If there's anyone in your life who's on their way to a low-waste lifestyle, send them over. We would love to have them along for the journey. We sure would appreciate your review, star rating, and don't forget to subscribe. Also, look us up on Instagram at A Material Girl Goes Green. where we have tips, inspirations, reminders of why we live this lifestyle, videos, and additional materials for each podcast episode.